The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Double program tonight. We'll do a short main show, and then we'll go to the Patreon hangout. If you'd like to hang out with me, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level, and this will start at around 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Pruitt says, hello, JF. Doubting Thomas says, I miss the need for Odyssey refreshes. Well, that's not something to complain about. If you have a better platform, I've done what I could. I've done my best. That is extra rice, my friends.
Esta es una cajita de 65.
Esta es una caja de 65.
Ah, eso me queda una abuela.
Bendito sea el Señor.
Pero si usted se come eso entre dos personas.
Y Ave María.
No se les cobra.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, Don Pedro, usted es un abusador, mi rey. Abusador es lo que es Don Pedro.
Why have a container at all at this point?
65, vea. Ah, qué belleza,
parce. Se cayó un poquito,
vamos a echarle. Se cayó un poquito, vamos a echarle la ñapa. Vea qué belleza.
Vea
qué pala.
Vea, ¿sabe qué?
This rice can be good, but what the fuck is happening when you have to distribute rice like this? Prot says almost as good as JF's plate. Yeah, I didn't know that during the Easter weekend I would be so controversial because I published this picture of a sauerkraut. Now, sauerkraut with sausage and ham and sometimes pork belly, although there was no pork belly in mine, and just two boiled potatoes, and that offended people. Nick Fuentes said, nice, looks good, but people were like, no, you're bullshitting, that does not look good. The thing is, a sauerkraut plate is exactly how it's served in a very pale fashion. Everything is pale. You have a white potato, you have white sauerkraut, you have meats that are fatty and white. It's a very white meal, and it looks like it doesn't taste much, but let me tell you, if you take the time to cook the ham in maple syrup, if the sausage is good, you don't need any spicing on this. It's really good, and the fermented aspects of the sauerkraut, they really stimulate the taste of the whole meal, so you don't need it to look spicy. It's a very weird meal, but it's something that I really learned from with my French wife when we were exploring restaurants. And even in a relatively high-end restaurant, they will serve it to you like very bad looking. It's part of the experience, but it led to 50,000 views on this tweet, and people were complaining. Well, don't talk to me, talk to the inventor of the sauerkraut. This is a German meal and it is good. The fatality of the male Asian incel. Apparently he just got friend-zoned by Pokemon.
Pause.
And now they're playing a humiliation ritual where he has to eat a dick.
Pause behind everything. Alright, ready? Hey, you know the rules. One bite only.
Bro, what is that?
Yo, bro.
We know you got more in you.
I'm gonna be honest.
He says it's good.
Eat that dick, Jason. The Asian male is just above the black male in terms of desirability on the dating market. They have nothing going for them. A cog in the machine. A man without the testosterone. A man without the muscle. A man without the creativity. You can only do one thing. Eat that cock, Jason. While females mock you.
Why the whole chat saying boo? You want the, you want this part?
Yeah, give me the ball.
Nicholas Petrus says these big streamers are depraved. It's amazing to me because I consider that I'm an OJ streamer. But we've seen these big streamers appear out of nowhere, and I don't know exactly how that happened. How did they become big streamers? To me, it's kind of a black hole in my memory of history of the internet. I was a streamer years before them, and then they showed up and they were big from the start, it would seem. Prud says he should just become a lady boy. That is another option for the Asian male. Rodida Sid says she is only popular on Twitch by walking around her room in yoga pants. Yeah, this seems to be the MO of Pokemon. The Pope has died. He died just after meeting JD Vance. I don't have a strong position on this. I don't care particularly about the Pope leading this Christian worldwide institution. I don't have any attachment to the Pope. Doubting Thomas says, COVID, they brought in big audiences that when everyone was at home. Okay, so it was the COVID moment. I was on the internet way before COVID, let me tell you. Leon McCollum says, do these people really think that Joe Rogan's audience will disappear after this? He had a good run, laughing my ass off. He's got the biggest show on earth for a reason. Yeah, a lot of people are trying, they're kind of shyly trying to start a cancel Joe Rogan movement, but you can see that, you can see really the subset of extreme Zionists, they're really starting to expose themselves. And yes, I agree with the analysis of Mike Cernovich that it's one of the biggest self-own we've ever seen. Like, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to go on Joe Rogan and send their Douglas Murray little gay boy to make their argument. But they did. And it really turned bad for them. And I love that the public space is now mature enough that this can all happen without much pressure. It can all happen so naturally that yes, it happened as a result of a per cell phone here. It's not like people like JF were plotting for the Zionists to ridicule themselves. It's really that they have bad arguments, and they somehow their bad arguments came to be confronted naturally through the mechanism of free Joe Rogan system for getting guests. Because once you are free to get the guest you want, you will converge toward having some people on the opposition to Zionism. And naturally, they will win the argument because the arguments on the other side are very bad. And the only way the pro-Zionism has survived is by full control, by not letting opposition exist at all, by censoring them, by having them kicked out of platforms, by having their bank account neutralized. But naturally, we've seen it when you create that's a saying on the internet, that any platform that is not censored will converge right wing. That's a broad saying, but in specificity, what it means is that if they can't control fully the narrative, if just one argument can be made against certain things, whether right-wing themes or Zionistic themes, these arguments will win. Fractalit says, Douglas Murray was supposed to be a hard hit. Oof. They really are out of touch. Exactly. But why are they out of touch? Because they refused to participate to the internet blood sports era. Because in a way, everything that Joe Rogan is discovering today, we've discovered, I mean, we're in 2025 now, we've discovered 8 years ago. 8 years ago, we had Zionists come on the show and they were unable to put up with the opposition. They were unable to come up with good arguments, and they were, you know, I remember this Jewish guy who was going back to the Holocaust, like, instinctively. They hang on to it, and it's like, oh, well, the Holocaust. We've discovered this 8 years ago, but because there's a bunch of ivory tower type people who have always controlled who they interact with, people a la Douglas Murray, we find ourselves with a bunch of people who haven't sharpened themselves for 8 years, and they stayed in their self-deception, and they got cuddled by censorship, they got cuddled by Wojcicki, they got cuddled by Jack Dorsey, who said, all right, we're going to ban these accounts so you can stay in your little safe space. But under Elon, they haven't gotten what they wanted. And now this leads to a lot of internal discussion within the Jews about how just how much free speech should we leave to non-Jews. A lot of people were bringing this as a positive for Brett Weinstein, saying, oh, Brett Weinstein sticks to his principles. He's standing for free speech. I will say Brett Weinstein is has always talked of free speech in relation to the vaccine. I've never seen him counter, for example, people who got censored and got their YouTube accounts taken from them for hate speech. I've never seen Brett invite these people, try to give them a platform, or try to give them voices when their voices were taken away. So to me, Brett Weinstein is intelligent enough to stay on principles when he speaks theoretically, but in practice, he is not practicing a pro-free speech stance. So I was saying about this this comment of Brett Weinstein, who is kind of calling the Jews to calm down and saying, you know, you're going to get opposition on Joe Rogan, and so be it. I said Jews in conflict among themselves to determine what extent of cancel culture to apply to non-Jews. Should it be strict deplatforming a la Wojcicki, expert Jew pairing a la Murray, or just selective engagement a la Weinstein? So many forms of cancel culture to choose from. But I'm happy that they are so shook by the Joe Rogan event that they are reconsidering their stances and disagreeing among themselves. You had Konstantin Kissin offended by the position of Brett Weinstein. It's good that there is internal disagreement in this otherwise very closely knit ethnic network of podcaster. A Blimpy supervisor says there was a fuck Israel, free Palestine message behind the stage for one of the performances at Coachella. Two Jews, three opinions. That is a funny saying. Two Jews, three opinions. End of the line. Joel says they cry out in pain as they pull up the free speech ladder. Oh yeah, we're not out of the woods yet. I'm sure this is a moment of destabilization for a podcast jury. They will recollect their thoughts. They will try to find how we can preserve power. But yeah, in the end, you see the internet doing the work that it has to do, which is the internet came and allowed independent creators that are bound to their audiences rather than a top-down, you're a billionaire, what do you want me to tell them? You know, this top-down approach that a billionaire decides what's your stance so that you can project it onto your audience, that model is dying. And I like that it can die without me doing any efforts, because back in the public space days, I was a player in the arena and I was trying to change the world. But what I see in the last few years is that the world can change itself also, because the forces that we were surfing on are unavoidable. They are unavoidable conflicts of American society. It makes no sense that America trusts an ethnic mafia to pass its own information to itself. It makes no sense that an ethnic mafia is playing the role of gatekeeper on the informations that matter to Americans. Makes zero sense. Pruitt says, a choice must be made, the audience or advertisers. John Drake says, doesn't matter, they're on a trajectory of decline, it can only be slowed, not stopped. Exactly, and that's reassuring, you know, because I'm a nervous guy. I'm a guy with like some degree of anxiety about the world, and everything I do, I try to act out of principle and try to change the world. But as I get old, I can enjoy sitting back and seeing, look, if the public space is not on YouTube, Joe Rogan is going to make the same events happen on Spotify. So in a way, the event of the truth coming out is kind of unavoidable. And it's very enjoyable to be able to just let it go to its natural pace, because the truths that we've talked about 8 years ago, you can shake people and try to wake them up about it. But you can also stand back and say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Now, yeah, maybe you don't know, but I did tell you so. U.S. Department of Education will now begin collecting student loan payments not collected from those who defaulted since 2020. So apparently, since they were under a Biden administration, Biden has its own way to not enforce the student loans, because it's ultimately a way to buy votes. There's a whole class of Americans who are in the system of education. Oh, I got my degree. I got my little degree here. Amazingly, they all have less degrees than me. But they hold to their degrees stronger than I ever did to any of mine. And so you have these kinds of, they're leftists within the machine, they're cogs in the machine of institutionalism, of governments, and they all love Biden. And so Biden, to reward them for being cogs in the machine, he says, well, you have all the student loan, you're not going to have to repay it. So that leaves people with a higher capacity of indebtedness, so they get other debt, so they buy houses that are beyond prices that they can truly afford, but they don't have to pay their student loan, so they have enough money to pay their mortgage. And all of this system is a big fraud. I'm happy that the Department of Education is now going after these people. What does it mean? Perhaps it means that some of them will have to do their monthly payments. Perhaps it means that some of them will have accumulated so much debt that they're going to take their houses or whatever. And it will cause bankruptcies. And yeah, that is it. I wanted to talk about a couple of movies I've been watching. So let's start with Mickey 17. So I don't know what happened. I started being interested at 2025 movies. Mickey 17, a movie of space. Not interesting. Not a super interesting movie, let me tell you. They tried to make a kind of comedy of multiple personality, multiple iteration of a printed guy. So basically the idea is that they are, Mickey is an expendable. He's played by Robert Pattinson. You know, Robert Pattinson, it's kind of a shot in the dark. Sometimes he is in very good movies. Sometimes he's in very bad movies. It's not like Matt Damon. Matt Damon, back in the days, you couldn't know. He's always going to be in a good movie because he selects his movies. Robert Pattinson will do anything. And so he's in this very exaggerated space comedy where he's an expendable. So basically the whole idea is he can be put to tasks that are very hard, tasks that will risk his life. And very often, in fact, he dies intentionally as part of the project, whether it's, oh, we want to know if radiations will kill you in space, or, oh, we're going to send you to a mining operation and you're going to face all these monsters, but it's okay, you die because we have this printer and we will reprint you. So every time they take his body, they throw it in the mosh of lava or whatever, and he comes back to life, and somehow, for some reason, he has memories of his old life. He has memories of the moments where he dies. It's way too exaggerated. They're trying to make jokes. It's not super funny. There's a politician in there. It's kind of so over the top. And ultimately, they encounter a life form on another planet, and they're just kind. They just want fairness. But the politicians is too stupid, so he shoots them and he steals their babies. It's too exaggerated to be a fine movie. And the extraterrestrials, they suck. They're ugly mammoth-like creatures. I don't know, man. There's nothing about this one. It's watchable. It's definitely watchable. It's a professionally made movie. But it's a big loss of time, and philosophically, it's kind of trying to make a critique of society and politicians and foreigners that is just very, very basic. New Guy Prime says, how is Minecraft a good movie? Well, I'll get to it. Before I talk about Minecraft, let's talk about Last Breath, 2025 movie also. Featuring Woody Harrelson. That is worth listening. If you want to watch a good 2025 movie, Last Breath is okay. Last Breath is not a absolutely great creation, but it's a technical creation around a theme which is deep dive saturation divers. And the case of a guy who and they say it's a real story. So it's the case of a guy who, because of an accident with the ship, got left at the bottom of the sea and with 10 minutes reserve of oxygen. And eventually they could only get back to him 40 minutes later. And somehow with 10 minutes of oxygen reserve, somehow with the cold and with the fact that he was paralyzed there and not moving, he survived 40 minutes for the team to find him again. So it's a case where they have these little descending bubbles of air. But if you go out of it, you have only 10 minutes of oxygen, but you're plugged. You're plugged with... So the 10 minutes is just the backup. You're actually plugged on a source of oxygen that comes through a tube, but in this case, his tube ripped off because the ship got carried away by the storm. So it's an interesting film because they go really technical into the what does it mean to be saturation divers. It means you have to spend days in a little tin can before you even go down toward the deep sea. So you live in a tin can that's like your hotel, and they pressure you. They increase the pressure so that your body can handle the pressure of the deep sea. So you spend days there, and in fact, when you return, you have to spend days in that tin can still. So they go through these steps, and for those who are interested in the technicalities of saturation diver, it's interesting. I would recommend this movie. It's well done, interesting, and some degree of suspense and action. Now let's get to the main subject, Minecraft. Minecraft is a good movie. It's a good movie for many reasons. It's not a great movie. It's not a movie that would move you or anything. It's not deeply philosophical. But Minecraft is interesting because I think the woke have been pushed back a little bit. There's only one trace of woke that is clearly there still. It's the fat black woman. She's annoying. But you can leave... And there's another side of woke that is this character with a pink... jacket here. This guy. He's woke in the sense that he's this 90s gamer guy who used to be winning local contest of gaming. But now he's a loser, of course, with all of his arcades that are not worth anything. And he's in debt and they are evicting him out of his house. And to make money, he starts doing some life counseling. So he's kind of the red pill manosphere guy in this movie. And they want to mock it, of course. So they don't go as far as saying that he's a red pill manosphere guy, but because they want to keep it family friendly. But basically, that's what he incarnates. He's like, pro tip, boy, life isn't like an elastic. He gives these tips, these random unsolicited tips, and it's for the goal of kind of mocking the idea of a guy giving tips while also his life being miserable. And you're supposed to, of course, within the leftist kind of mainstream mentality around this, you're supposed to find him ridiculous and consistent. And he's kind of the Andrew Tate of the... But what I like about the movie first is they didn't ridicule this guy to the point of making him a failure. Because in the end, he does end up bombarding the portal to the underworld, controlling the tentacles of the flying cubes, and he shoots fireballs and destroys the portal. So it's like... The wokeness has been contained here. It's like, okay, yeah, we're going to give you this kind of manosphere, laugh at the guy type of thing where he's an idiot. But as part of the story, he's a hero too. You know, they didn't try to reduce him to nothing. So already here's a role for the white manosphere guy who ends up saving people, who ends up winning. And ends up winning like he used to win back in the 90s, back in his arcades. So in that sense, they have succeeded at Minecraft being really a space for everyone. And the problem when the left tells you, oh yeah, it's a world open to everyone. The problem is what they mean, really, is we're going to take you, YT. We're going to reduce you to nothing. We're going to mock you, even if you're the best among us. And then we're going to let some place for the black woman. They didn't do this with Minecraft. So that's where I welcome Minecraft. They wanted to, you know, the stereotypical thing that you can say about Minecraft is there's a place for everyone. It's a place of creation where everyone can win. But they really followed up on it by not reducing the white manosphere guy to be... an idiot who does nothing. In fact, in that world, he does something and he realizes something important. The 90s energy is very strong. And that's weird because Minecraft isn't a 90s game. Minecraft is a 2010s game. So why is the 90s energy so strong? Maybe there was a director who wanted to highlight the fact that there is a tying of generations in the Minecraft universe where you have old gamers that have known old games, and then you have these new players who are youth who have only known Minecraft. John Drake says, shocking, maybe that's why it's made some money. So you have, in the totality of the team, you have Steve, who's a geek who lives in the Minecraft universe. Basically, he's been captured into the Minecraft universe. You have the black woman who works with animals, and she's a specialist of wolves. And to that I say, okay, you know, if she wants to bring her fucking wolves at the end to do some useless attack on the army, let her have it. It sucks as a talent, but at least she's not the main protagonist. They haven't tried to push her forward as the one destroying the portal. She's just there doing her wolf thing with the wolves, and it's like, okay, shut the fuck up. We got our black token woman. You got Steve, who is captured in the Minecraft universe. You got the 90s gamer champion, who's now a Manosphere counselor type of guy. And then you get a boy, a young boy, and his sister, who somehow they lost their parents, and his big sister is taking care of him. They are entering into a new town, and they find themselves captured in the Minecraft universe due to a magic portal. So it's not like they're engaging in the Minecraft universe from a computer, but there's a strong team that they are. Like, you know, Steve is a geek. He's the kind of geek that Jack Black plays him good, okay, where he insists on his reserves, and he has all these reserves of diamonds and redstone and all these mechanisms that he stored across the year. The game is super, the movie is super respectful of the game mechanism. There are references to redstone, lever activation, mining of blocks, protections of creeps from the night, building of tower to protect from creeps, TNT, fireworks, crafting table, weaponry, golems, villagers, underworld, nether portal. The movie as well respected all of these elements of the game. Even single-use items are respected. At some point, the Manosphere guy has a sphere of teleportation blink. And Steve is like, this, you can throw it anywhere and you will instantly teleport to that place. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm not. And you waste it. And Steve is like, I had to kill a monster. I had to kill an Enderman to get that one ball, and you wasted it. So single-use item. And there's lots of reference to everything you can have in a Minecraft server. The animals are fair. Somehow there's a bizarre case of a, you know, I don't know if it's the term. I don't know if it's my internal circle jerk culture of Minecraft. But there's these guys that we call the Jews in Minecraft. You know, the Jews are the ones that have their end tied like this. One of the Jews of mine, I don't know if it's the technical term for them, but one of the Jews happens to get out of the Minecraft server, and he gets into the real world, and somehow he pairs with that old divorcee cougar. It's super weird. I guess that because it's a kid's movie, the whole divorcee cougar woman is kind of a thing in young people's life, because they all have their whore mother who does that kind of thing. But it's and she falls in love with him because he doesn't speak because he doesn't have hands and he has a nose blocking his mouth, and she's like, she falls in love with him because he doesn't say anything, so she can constantly talk and talk. So that's a funny aspect in a kid's movie, to be making a commentary on female behavior like this. It's kind of funny. And there's all sorts of references to lava. You know, there's lava buckets that are fair representations. There is the lava cooking of the chicken through the mechanism with a lever that was built with proper redstone systems, and the chicken boils in lava in a oven that was created for that purpose. So all in all, it's just a fun movie that properly represents the Minecraft universe. So the whole movie is about a stupid story about the queen of darkness of the underworld trying to bring her pigs into the upper world, the overworld, and she creates an endless night by using a crystal. So as long as it's night, they can survive at the surface. So there's a whole war. But it's not important, the war. What's important is, here's a movie that is not trying to give me a moral lesson, that is just fun and representative of an aspect of computer universe. That is good. Overlord Omicron says, salut JF, première fois j'ai réussi à te voir en live. C'est moi qui t'a écrit sur X en fin de semaine. Oh yeah, I wanted to address his questions to me. Where that would be. Okay, so he had initially asked me if he should go with a woman that she was a libertarian, he was in love with her. She was knocking all of the check marks. And so I said, of course, you insist on it. And now he's learning that this woman betrayed him and he has been separated now. So after 3 months, basically, she exposed herself as too adventurous. She left him and switched to another guy. Anyways, so yeah, that's why quick insemination is necessary. Because you will detect quickly if she goes away, if she's not into this. So now he's coming back to me and says, okay, after 3 months, the relationship dissolved. I think I am an incel. I am not an incel. I have easy social relationships. I seem relatively normal. I had many relationships, but I never really found the person ready to invest. And my two last serious relationships ended up in cheating. She cheated. I'm becoming black pill, and I am conscious that I'm not the perfect candidate, partly because of my job, but I am a serious guy who has probably accumulated more cash than 95% of the people of my age. I have an IQ relatively high without being a genius. I don't know what to do at that point. I was also wondering, the one thing I liked about this girl is she was libertarian. We had practically the same political opinions, blah, blah, blah. In your experience, should I date a woman with high IQ? Is it a good idea? Should I go for a woman that looked like her? So basically, that's his current situation. I told him, look, you're not going to have the choice. So you date whatever shows up and you inseminate whatever shows up. You should not make it a condition that you are totally in love with the woman and that she is a libertarian and that she fits all of your beliefs. It's wonderful if that can happen. But if you're really decided to be into reproduction, you're gonna have to deal with the reality of what shows up. And that could be an imperfect candidate in many ways. But you have to concentrate on insemination and, yes, find a person who's as fit as you can to your beliefs. But if you start making it a condition, let me tell you, you're going to end up at 45 years old with no more relationships. Because it may seem easy to develop a random relationship that becomes serious because you have a remembrance of doing it when you were young. But as you become older and older, that all of the good women have been taken. And so you're in a filtering process where it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And you have no idea how bad it is at the bottom. So no, it's not easy. Because it's very easy to occupy the place of boyfriend in a young woman's life. She's going to give you that spot. But she's never going to accept insemination. She's going to get an abortion if she gets pregnant. So don't be deceived by the past relationships you've had. It may have made it look easy, but what's not easy is to get to insemination, make it happen, and preserve the woman after. Now, those are the tough things, and I recommend that you get to it as quick as possible and don't put too much brakes on your acceptance of woman in your life. Whatever shows up, inseminate. Prout says, Jeff, did you hear about Kanye is gay? Yeah, I saw this story. Kanye is telling the story on his Twitter account that when he was a teenager, he was sucking his cousin's dick and looking at weird magazines. Meaning basically, I guess, gay porn magazine or maybe just hetero female porn magazine featuring males. But in any case, Kanye was sucking his cousin's dick, being gay as a teenager. And eventually he said to his cousin, okay, I'm going to stop doing this gay stuff. And his cousin eventually grew up to have a woman that he inseminated, but then he killed. He killed a pregnant... Oh, I don't know if he killed the woman that he's inseminated, but he killed a pregnant woman. And so that cousin ended up in jail for life for killing a pregnant woman. So sad. There is so much gayness being disseminated. It's so sad that we have a guy who we want to count on him, Kanye. We want to count on Ye, you know, to bring attention to the subject of Jewish power in America, but even him has been subjected to gayness. It's sad, but it's like not particularly out of place for Kanye and the expectations that I have of him. It's the kind of thing that this kind of bizarre guy will do. Thankfully, he's out of the gay lifestyle, but it sucks. John Drake says, typical story in Black America. Yeah, I'm sure it's common, and I'm sure that there was a component of Kanye being victimized by this. I'm sure that there's all of this, but that doesn't excuse it. Soylent Guy says, some things you just don't say. There's a line, women are habitual line steppers. Okay, that was in relation to something else. What else do we have before we go to the private show? It's time for a change. Canadian youth is fed up, turned to conservative polyevre as liberal boomers go full carne. Oh man, the boomers, their stranglehold on society is really not over. It's really until they all die, there will still be the boomer effect onto society. We're not out of it before 10, 20 years still. We're not out of the boomer assumptions about the world. Anyways, I'll be going to the private show. So if you are a Subscribestar or Patreon subscriber, at the $20 level, go check your platform. I'll go live in 15 minutes. I don't know if we'll have guests, but if you want to join as a guest for the show, come. If there's no guest, I might do some programming if you guys want to see me program for an amount of time, because I know that Fish Batista is busy. So our usual guest, James, is not watching the show anymore. He just moved on with life. He's not on the internet anymore. I'm glad for him, and I'm glad if he can pick up a girl with his motorcycle and all. But yeah, so the people who usually show up at the monthly hangout, they will not be there. But worst case scenario, I end up doing some programming in front of you guys. So come and join me for the Patreon, Subscribestar Hangout. The links are in the description below if you want to join the Subscribestar. I'll see you in 15 minutes.